I want to talk to you today, and the title of my message is Restoring Trust. So turn to Proverbs chapter 3. How many of you have noticed that trust is rare in the day that we seem to be living in right now? Does it seem to anybody besides me that trust is harder now than maybe it's been in any time in your life? There are a lot of people who don't trust much of anything. And it's kind of tough. How many of you, just let's take a poll. How many of you just totally trust our media? Giggles. Yeah, it's kind of hard, isn't it? I don't know if I mentioned this last week or not, but I saw this article, and this news media, big one, was talking about how the Earth's core has either slowed down or stopped or may even be starting to reverse its spin. And I found that interesting, so I started reading the article. And then they started talking about how far down it was. I believe it was 39 miles, and that's how far you have to go to get to the core of the Earth. And then they started telling, you know, what was in the core of the Earth. And I thought to myself, wow, never been there. How many of you have been to the core of the Earth? No? And then I was like, 39 miles down, that's a long way. And so I started looking it up. The deepest hole we've ever bored into the Earth is about 7.5 miles. So we're nowhere near the center of the Earth. Yet somehow, somebody in science knows exactly what's in the core of the Earth and what it's doing. And they didn't explain how they felt like they had evidence that it was slowing down or stopping or maybe even reversing. But then they started to talk about what the core of the Earth is made out of. And I'm like, really? Forgive me a little skepticism. But how many of you have noticed that science is getting a little bit hard to trust? Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? And then the news media and science together making statements about something that they actually don't know. It's a theory. They think this is what's down there, but they don't know. But we have all these people, blah, 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 on stuff they don't really know. It's hard to trust them, isn't it? And then the science and the media tie in with this thing called government. And government starts making decisions for the people, but not by the people. We're supposed to have a government by and for the people. And you're just kind of like, anybody besides me have trouble? Like, who do you trust? I don't remember feeling this way when I was a younger person. And by the way, I got saved more than 60 years ago during the Jesus movement. I was thinking about the other day, I was thinking it was 50, and then I realized, oh, no, sir, it'll be 62. I'm sorry, you're right, it is 52. Okay, good. I feel better about myself. My math stinks, but I feel better that I'm not as old as I thought I was. Okay, during the Jesus movement, anyway, some of you are old enough to remember the Vietnam War, Watergate, da-da-da-da, and trust was not very high then either. Right? So we had that time, and then we kind of got a little more trusting of our government, and then they, you know, stuff's happening again, and now we're just in one of those seasons where it's hard to trust. I'm going to say more about that in a minute. And then, you know, here's one other. How many of you just trust all the preachers? Yeah. I had somebody this week who was whining about some preacher and then another preacher and yeah. Yeah. And I don't blame them sometimes. There's reasons sometimes to feel the way people feel. Here's a good one. Do you trust your spouse? Yeah, pretty much. I'm trying to cause trouble. Here's the thing. When it comes to some areas, I trust my spouse more than I trust me.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah. Smart woman. She would do. See? This is just real. We're just being real here today. All right. So Proverbs chapter 3, are you there? Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Trust in the Lord. I don't even know that I trust my trust. Am I being as trusting as I should be? How many of you ever second guess yourself? Yeah, we all do. There's just so many times when we, you know, do the best we know how, and then we still second guess ourselves because we're not fully sure that we're trusting in ourselves. So, who do you trust? Well, obviously, from the scripture, I'm going to talk about trusting God. It is interesting to think that you can probably, some of you at least, pull a coin out of your pocket, and you can look on it, and it says, "In God we trust." Big national motto that has been attacked a few times and probably will be again before much longer goes by, because people used to trust in God, and our country used to have more trust in God. Did our country ever completely trust in God? I don't know that any government can. Can any one individual completely trust in God? Yeah, probably not. I would like to think I trust in God completely, but then I've proven to myself a couple of times that I didn't. Anybody else have that problem besides me? I was trying to trust in God. In God we trust, even though it may not be as true as it used to be, it's still true. It's still the right thing. And the founders of this country, by the way, wanted us to trust in God, but they did not want us to trust in government. You know that, right? If you read through some of the founding documents, they talk a lot about how our country will fail if we stop trusting in God. It's a big deal. So, if you will, healthy skepticism is a good thing when it comes to governments. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. What we need is something that directs us to the right place to invest our trust. And as I mentioned, before the Jesus movement, there was a lot of stuff going on, and people got weary, and people were frustrated, and everything was haywire, and trust in our country was at a low. Isn't it interesting that out of a period of low trust by the population, something happened and revival broke out? Why was that? Because people were looking for some place to invest their trust. Because they had invested it here and it failed, and they invested it there and it failed, and they invested it over there and it failed, and they tried to trust this and they tried to trust that, and all the things they were trusting in were failing them, because there's only one place you can invest your trust and have it work. So here in Proverbs, I'm going to kind of go back through it line by line, and I'm going to have you maybe say a word here and there. The first line says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Everybody say all. Okay. If you give your heart to someone, is there any left for anyone else? If you give God all your trust, is there any trust left for someone else? You're thinking. It's rhetorical. I'm just trying to stir your thinker up a little bit. Is God suggesting that we shouldn't trust anyone else? I don't think that's what God wants us to do. I do believe that God wants us to have trusting relationships, but I'm not sure he wants me to invest my trust in myself at a super high level, let alone anybody else, and maybe less than myself, as I said, than my wife. She definitely balances the checkbook better than I do. She definitely makes sure the house gets clean better than I would. The laundry, I can trust her with it. I cannot trust me with it. She trusts me with filling up the car. I've told you that before. There are things, I don't like to leave the house without having my wife see what I'm wearing. And it's wise not to do that. And I heard somebody the other day say something about that on the radio. Some guy was getting married and his friend gave him a piece of advice. He says, if your wife says, are you wearing that? The answer's no. Always. Not. The answer is no, I'm going back in the closet. I'm going to change. Because she's not really asking, are you wearing that? She's telling you, that's dumb, don't do it. I saw a clip the other day, a comic the other day, and this woman standing at the door with a shotgun, and the guy is dressed horribly, and he says, what are you doing? She says, going to have to kill you. Remember when you told me that don't let me ever, if I ever try to go outside like this, please kill me? That's what we do. As we get older, sometimes we don't pick the best things. So I am thankful that I can trust my wife in certain areas and that she does things better than I do. And I think she trusts me in certain areas because maybe I do things better than her. But both of us can trust each other more because we both trust in the Lord. So the Lord actually gives me the trust that I invest into her. I invest my trust into him and he gives me trust for her. Does that make sense? See, I don't have to worry about losing my trust for my wife because it's not my trust, it's his trust that's flowing through me. But I trust in him. I give him everything. I trust in the Lord for everything. And then everything else that's going on, it's his to deal with. And lean not on your own understanding. Everybody say lean. If you lean, you're not putting your full weight on something. So if I stand at this thing and just kind of do a little bit of that, I'm taking some weight off of things. He says, don't even lean on your own understanding, let alone put all your weight on it. Don't even lean on your own understanding. I can't put my full weight on my own understanding. I can't even really lean on it. But I can lean on him, and I can put my full weight on him, and I can know that he knows when I don't know. And I can trust him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. I love this verse. I refer to this a lot. I make a big deal about the idea that I would like to do everything he tells me to do instead of some of the stupid things I think would be good. And it always works out better when I do what he's telling me to do. So it's been at the forefront of all of our thinking because I bring it up a lot. But there's a benefit in it. And I want to experience the full benefit of God by not leaning to my own understanding, but really leaning to God's understanding. How many think God's going to get it right most of the time? isn't that almost the way we think, though? I know what the answer is, but I want to try this. As if that's ever going to work. Been there, done that. This verse says, in our ways. Everybody say ways. All the stuff you do. The way you cook, the way you clean, the way you drive, the way you talk, the way you walk, the way you work, every way that you can think of, that's the way that I want to give acknowledgement to God in the middle of it. If I'm aware of God in the middle of it, good things are going to happen. And what's the benefit? He will direct your paths. Everybody say direct. That direct word is also, in other versions, he will make your path straight. What's the shortest distance between two points? A straight line. Not always the easiest way, but it's the shortest way. I believe oftentimes a straight line is the easiest way. There are times when I wander around trying to remember what I'm trying to do. If I'd have just gone and done the thing I was going to do first, I would have been over there already and it would have been done with. We all have those things happen to us. I do better if I trust his direction. Way better. Way better. God put the emphasis on that, apparently. I do way better if I trust his direction. I just like that. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Everybody say wise. Mm-hmm. We got a bunch of wise guys in this church. By the way, we have wise guys this Wednesday. We'll do it this Wednesday. I think we're finally going to. It's going to be a nice day. 2 o'clock. McDonald's. Oh, no, Arby's. We've been going to Arby's. Yeah, Arby's. Yeah. Arby's, across from the mall, 2 o'clock. We sit around and poke fun at each other, laugh. So this week we can do wise guys. It's 55 and older is what we say, but if you're free, like if you're not doing something, come on down. At 2 o'clock is when they start their specials, by the way, so you get things cheaper. It's part of the reason why we meet there. Do not be wise in your own eyes. You know, it's so easy for me to think I've got things figured out, especially now. I'm going to be 66. My grandson and I were talking yesterday. He's going to be 6 and I'm going to be 66. He thought that was kind of cool. I'm 6. I'm 66. He was excited about it. You think you know what you want, and with confidence, you enter into what you think you know sometimes because I've lived a while. I figured these things out, and then it doesn't work. You know? Anybody have that happen besides me? Yeah, I see hands. By the way, outside of my wife who's never wrong, have any of you, rest of you, ever been wrong? See how smart I am? No, there I am. I'm wise in my own eyes right there. Just being a wise guy. You know, it's so funny. You've been wrong? Really? Yeah. Has the Lord ever been wrong? No. No, the Lord's never been wrong. I'm going to bet on him every time. If I'm smart. If I have any wisdom at all, it's going to be to trust God, to have wisdom for my situation. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. I believe it could also say, fear the Lord to depart from evil. When I keep my focus on God and I'm afraid that I have the wisdom to understand that I don't want to mess up what God has planned for me. That kind of a fear, that's the awareness of danger. I mentioned it last week again. One of the definitions of fear that I think is important for us to understand is awareness of danger. If you have a growling, loose, big dog coming at you and his slobber's coming out and he's making it clear that he doesn't like you, wisdom is not to go, oh, that's a nice little puppy right there. Probably not going to work out good for you. You just put your face closer to where he can bite it. There is an awareness of danger, and that's okay. But in order to depart from evil, I think we need to be aware. Aware of the danger. It's dangerous not to trust God. That is the most dangerous thing I could do. I am thankful that in times when I haven't totally trusted God the way I should have, He intervenes on my behalf anyway. He's such a loving God. But it is very dangerous not to trust God. It's a big mistake every time. I start leaning to my own understanding. The next thing, I put my whole weight on my own understanding, and I fall through the ice or whatever. It's not a place to be. When we do trust in God, I believe that it's going to always be amazing how he comes and takes care of things and even gets us out of messes that we got in because we didn't trust in God. Right? I should have trusted you, Lord. Please help me. And he's like, yeah, I knew that was going to go sour. It's okay. I love you. I'm going to help you out. But I think sometimes God looks down and he's like, oh, that's going to leave a mark. How many of you have got any of those revelation bumps right here and here and here? You just bam, right into the thing, the obstacle in front of you. Boom. Oh, that didn't work. I don't like trusting myself. But when we trust in God, verse 8 says, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Wow. I think trusting in God not only brings health to our attitudes, I believe trusting in God brings health to our bodies. I need strength sometimes to be able to stand up. Sore muscles. Iron poor, tired blood. What was that? There used to be a commercial where they, that was their phrase. Can't remember what the thing was they wanted. What's that? Was it Geritol? Yeah, that might be it. Geritol for iron poor, tired blood. Do they even sell Geritol anymore? Don't think so. Yeah, Geritol stopped being made and they started making monster drinks. Not a good idea. We need to have trust. We need to have a place where we can put our trust in. Not being able to trust keeps us from being who God wants us to be and becoming who God wants us to become. We have to have this ability to place our trust someplace. And so, there is one place. Psalm 125, verses 1 and 2 says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountain surrounds Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, from this time forth and forever. Wow. When I trust in the Lord, I'm immovable and I'm surrounded by his protection. Does that mean nothing that I thought I didn't want will ever get to me? I don't believe that. But God knows what's going on. And in those moments when it seems like everything's going the wrong way, that's my time to say, wait a minute, who do I trust? Who do I trust? Do I trust myself? Do I trust my understanding? Do I trust what I can see, taste, feel, believe from this realm, or do I trust beyond that? And do I continue to place my trust in the one who is the only trustworthy one? Because there is only one trustworthy one, just one. As I said, trust is really, I think, valuable in the day in which we live. I've been watching people with all these investment things that they tell you need to invest in this and invest in that and invest in that over there. You know, they want you to invest in gold and silver. How many of you heard those commercials? Invest in gold and silver. I was talking to somebody the other day about that. And I said, you know, my problem is I grew up during the Jesus movement and there was this song, I Wish We'd All Been Ready. Anybody remember that old song, Wish We'd All Been Ready? Yeah. A piece of bread would buy a bag of gold. It was one of the lines in the song. That may have affected me. I have a hard time picturing what I would do if I had a bunch of gold and I had to eat it. Like, look at all the gold we've got. The economy went bad, we've got gold. Yummy. Not going to work. I think, you know, there are seasons when trust is harder to come by. I don't think we can buy the commodity, but I bet if it was selling on the stock exchange, it would be really expensive. Like really expensive to get trust. Because it's just so hard to come by. because we've been disappointed many times. I believe he is the God who wants us to trust in him. And as we don't allow disappointment to come in, he will show us that, you've heard me say this so many times, disappointment, his appointment, change one letter, then I see that the thwarting of my purpose is God's better choice for me. Just one letter. I believe putting as much trust as we can muster, giving all the trust that we have to God, knowing that God is the one who can be trusted. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. All my heart, trusting in God. I believe that is the way to change our world. The atmosphere around us, the people around us, the situations around us, they go haywire. But if I trust God through all of those things, I believe that it's an investment that will pay dividends in your families, in your relationships, in your workplaces. Trust in the Lord. Don't know if I can trust all those other sources anymore. Sometimes they mean well, even. They're just dumber than a box of rocks. But they mean well. So the path to restoring trust to the world is making sure that we put our trust in God everywhere we can. And then he'll show us who's trustworthy. He'll show us where we need to put our trust. His trust, actually, through us. So I'm going to encourage you today. Be the one who trusts in the Lord. Look at a person next to you and say, trust God. That's the best investment in troubling times.